Nantucket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thank you very much for listening on this Monday morning. We do appreciate it. 251-343-0106. That is the text line. If you want to get in touch with the program, that's the best way to do so. Everybody but you, Grant, you are still sitting in the corner as and banned from the Jeff Poor Show. But nonetheless, still to come on the program about 30 minutes from now. From WVNN every Monday, we talk to Dale Jackson, also Yellowhammer News. He'll be with us. Can't imagine what we're going to talk about. You want to stay tuned for that. Joining us now on the program, however, always a pleasure to bring on this next gentleman. Very kind to come on today. Talk a little Alabama Senate race. C.J. Pearson with us. C.J., good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning. Thanks so much for having me.
Hey, thanks for making time for us. We do appreciate it. Kind of summarize it here. Mike Durant running for Senate, by a lot of polls, he is leading this thing. But come out with a statement on Saturday talking about election integrity, had used Congressman Mo Brooks' ill-fated line, if you will, from the Coleman rally in August about moving on from the 2020 election to use it against him. Now, you've done some reporting in the past, and this is why I wanted to get you on to talk a little bit about it. Mike Durant has said something completely different to you that indeed we need to stop looking back at 2020 and move on as well, even though it sounds like he is retooling that message.
Yeah, exactly. He is being the political chameleon that many Alabamians are starting to recognize him as. This is a man who is willing to change his political stripes at any opportunity based on moving poll numbers. There is literal records of him saying that we need to move past the election using the same line that Mo Brooks has used, also saying that the election integrity isn't one of his priorities, which is why he didn't list it on his campaign materials. This is a guy who unfortunately is starting to sound a lot like the same people who back him, the Lincoln Project folks, who are the Never Trumpers, who waged a war against President Trump for all 4 years of his presidency. And it's a shame because, you know, here's the deal. I take no pleasure in attacking a man who served our country in the way that Mike Durant did. But what I have to do is call out a liar and a deceiver and someone who's trying to manipulate the people of Alabama and lying on a record that is very visible and very apparent, especially when it comes to the issue of election integrity.
Well, right. It's almost shameless that everyone's kind of, I guess the notion is that the Trump endorsement's up for grabs based on the Washington Examiner story from David Drucker last week. And this looks like to me, just at face value, I could be totally wrong, but looks like to me he's just trying to woo that endorsement his way.
Well, yeah, exactly is what he's trying to do. But what he would be remiss to ignore is the fact that the president is very aware of the people that are backing his campaign, the Lincoln Project folks, the John McCain alumni. And I guarantee you the president is going to make that consideration in any rescission of any endorsement that he chooses to make. And I think that he may try to pull a fast one, the people of Alabama may try to pull a fast one on President Trump, but that's not going to work. The people are far smarter than that. We've seen his record. We've seen him, his own words, where he said election integrity is not like a top priority for him, where he said in his own words that we need to move past the election and all because we need to look forward. Well, here's the deal, and I think the people of Alabama would agree with me on this. Unless we fix the issues that happened in 2020, the Republican Party will be shut out of power in 2024, 2026, in 2028. Election integrity is about every other single issue because we can't fight for the Second Amendment. We can't fight to secure our borders. And we can't fight for any other issue important to the American people if we don't secure the integrity of our elections.
Joined by C.J. Pearson here on the program. You mentioned this, the Lincoln Project. Then obviously there's this More Perfect Union pact that's been discussed. A gentleman by the name of Jake Harriman. It maybe has some, I would say, less to conservative stripes. I don't know, outright liberal would be fair. But the association with these groups, Mike Durant's downplayed these, says these groups are doing exactly what they're doing. They're not working with him or his campaign. And that even though they're out there, they seem to be advocating for him. What he insists is really going on here is they're just working against either Katie Britt or Mo Brooks. But what do you think? What do you think of that statement from Durant?
You know, it's interesting because why would these people be doing what they're doing? And if you've been around politics forever, you know, that's just well, anyone. Like, why would these people be supporting his campaign so passionately with millions of dollars if he hasn't given a wink and a nod to make them believe that they are one day going to get something in return from him? You know, it's the same thing that we've seen from politicians like Mitt Romney and Jeff Flake and all those people who've gotten elected. They talk like Donald Trump. They pretend to be the most conservative conservatives. But when they get elected, they fail to stand up when we need them. They fail to stand by President Trump. They fail to stand up for conservative values. They cave to the liberals. And that's the thing that we're looking at here. I think that you can tell a lot by a person in a campaign, by the people that support them. And the matter of the fact is here is that none of these people are supporting Mo Brooks. None of these people are supporting Katie Britt. And for Mike Durant to accuse other people in this race of being less conservative than him, even though he has like a very weird record of not voting Republican in primaries, is very, very interesting and one of which that is very puzzling to me. And I think a lot of people who support President Trump and conservatives across the state.
Now, what do you make of this race right now? You know, some of the polling out there showing Durant as the top dog. This Forestry Association poll has Katie Britt within the margin of error, and Mo Brooks having fallen off quite a bit. I'm not quite a believer in that poll just yet. But where do you think this race is right now as we're sitting here today?
You know, what I've seen and what I've seen from people that I've talked to across the state is that I think a lot of people wanted to believe in Mo Brooks. I think that his campaign was seriously wounded at the beginning when he looked at thousands of Trump supporters in their face and told them that they need to move on from 2020. And now he's faced the consequences of that with President Trump. He's faced the consequences of that with people who support the president, and they're looking for an alternative. Which has led to the emergence of folks like Katie Britt and Mike Durant. But what I think that people will soon find out in the coming months about Mike Durant is that this is a guy who is just, again, a political chameleon, who is willing to say whatever it takes to get elected, who is willing to get funding from whoever it takes to get elected. If Mike Durant is so against these so-called liberal groups and he, quote-unquote, hates the liberal, as he was reported saying in a newspaper article today, then why doesn't he tell them to stop spending money on his behalf? Tell them that he doesn't want their money. If you don't like these never-Trumpers or anything like that, yes, you can't control them, but you can say, I don't want your money, take it and keep it in your pocket. And also, too, I challenge him to come on your show. I challenge him to answer the question, would he have voted to certify the election results from these states, these contested states like Georgia, Wisconsin, or would he actually just continue to say what he had said in the past, that we need to move on? And I think those are the pointed questions that he has so far avoided to answer, and that I've got answers from Katie Britt. You know, people like to pretend like she's just some, like, because of, you know, prior work history, you know, fighting for Alabamians, working for Richard Shelby and all these things, that she's some establishment type, when she sounds like the most conservative person in this race. And so, you know, I just call it like I see it on that point, but, you know, I think that's just what I'm seeing right now.
Joined by C.J. Pearson here on the program. So just for the record here, are you officially or unofficially or whatever supporting Katie Britt?
You know, I like Katie Britt. I like her a lot. I'm having no qualms about that. I think that, you know, she would serve the people of Alabama very, very well. But I think right now, I think my biggest thing is supporting the president here. And I think the president is going to very soon make a decision about Alabama that will be very interesting for a lot of people. I think he's reading this race and he's disappointed about what he's seeing. You know, Mo Brooks, for such a Trump Republican, had no hesitation when he attacked the president after those comments that came out in the Washington Examiner and also in CNN reported about how the president is just dissatisfied with Mo Brooks' lukewarmness on the issue of election integrity. But I've got to say, I think Katie Britt's a great candidate. I think she would be an incredible senator, and I'm proud to gotta be as supportive as I can be. But the biggest thing for me is I'm pro Alabama in this race. I think the people of Alabama deserve a fighter, someone who's had to fight and win, not just fight. Anyone can rabble rouse, anyone can you know, talk a good game, but we need people who are willing to go and leave it all on the field for the people of Alabama, and I think that she's capable of doing that.
And it's been some time. We were more than a year out from since when Donald Trump was president. How much does Donald Trump move the needle in 2022, do you think, on these elections?
Well, yeah, look at the recent Texas primaries. He went undefeated in more than 30 races across the board and the races that just happened in Texas. The Trump endorsement is the most valuable thing in politics. I have folks that I work with across the country, a race in Georgia. You know, Vernon Jones is running for Congress. He immediately got in that race. He jumped 20 points in polling. The Trump endorsement is something that a lot of people look to, especially in the state of Alabama. Why? Because people want people who are going to fight for the same America First agenda that ushered him into office. The same ideas that kept America first, the same ideas that kept gas prices low, inflation low, and that kept America on top of the world. You know, I saw this tweet from the president of El Salvador this past week where he said that it is a shame to see the greatest country in the world and the top country in the world falling so fast. The president of El Salvador is laughing at America right now. And that should be the biggest wake-up call that everyone needs. And I think that people are reminiscent about the days of President Trump when we had a fighter, a leader, and we want more leaders in his mold. And so I think that you'll see his endorsement continue to carry the weight that it has, and I think his track record will continue. But I think at the same time, candidates who receive that endorsement cannot use it as an ability to not work and reach voters. And you know, to quote the Bible here, you know, faith without work is dead. It's mute. And so I think that what I hope is that people just don't take the endorsement as just a means to an end to just not do anything and not engage with the people of their state. But, yeah.
Well, it's remarkable to watch because, you know, sitting here a year ago, it was hard to see how anybody was going to, you know, lay a glove on Congressman Brooks, right? He had such a big lead, and he was it was like in the high 50s or maybe low 60s, and everybody else is pulling in single digits. And here we are today. We have a three-way race for this U.S. Senate seat in Alabama. And it's like you said, something along the way, maybe people weren't aware of the Trump endorsement or he just kind of sat on it. But it's something, I don't know, it's pretty remarkable to watch because we've never seen anything like it in Alabama history.
It's so wild to watch. It's definitely something that took me kind of aback because when I heard early conversations about this race, coming here, I was like, there's no way that, you know, Mo Brooks is a Trump endorsement should be a lock for him, but it hasn't been. And I think it's just because of people, simply they're tired of career politicians in general. They're tired of people who, you know, also too are just very wishy-washy on the biggest issue at the forefront of their mind, which has been the election integrity issue. And I think that, but it's troubling though. I think it speaks to kind of the disarray within the Brooks campaign, that they haven't been able to really take advantage of the endorsements they've been given. And I think that's why the president's so upset. The president is very, adamant about his winning record, very proud of that. And I think that any politician that kind of jeopardizes that is definitely one of which that finds themselves on the opposite of the president, as we've seen. In reporting already, but I the thing is, I like Mo. I think Mo has been a fighter, and I think that he is someone who is a spirited guy in the fight for conservative values. But I think that right now it's time for a new generation of leadership in this country, and people are looking for something new, something different.
CJ, folks want to find you online, your social media, or any of your work. Tell them where they can look.
Yeah, definitely. So they can follow me on Twitter at DCJ Pearson. They can also follow me on Instagram and Facebook and all those places, and I look forward to seeing them there. Roll Tide.
Well, CJ, thanks for making time for us, so we'll talk again soon.
All right, thanks so much.
CJ Pearson working in the Roll Tide there as we head to break here. But, let it slide. 251-343-0106. Hit us up on that text line if you want to respond to anything. This is the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Gone with the wind. There ain't nobody looking back again.